I told you Sunday I wanted to go back, hopefully, and deal with Martha, so the Lord has granted that. Maybe. John chapter 20. It is not as vivid in my heart and mind as it was this past Lord's Day morning. And years ago in the early ministry, that would have troubled me greatly. And I would have spent the day wondering where I had grieved the Spirit, how I had grieved the Spirit, and seeing if I can make things right so that I might get that back like I had it. But I've learned that you just sit still and sit quietly, and God in time will open it at His good pleasure. And I'm sure that much of mine in the past has been simply feelings prior to, and I would depend upon those, and now everything is dead to me. And getting up here before you, as I said, it does not alarm me anymore. That's just the Lord's way of making us to know. If you get anything, or if the folk get anything, it will be from me and not you. So, Lord willing, we'll look. I'll just title it Mary at the Tomb. And hope you can get there in heart. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, unto Thee and Thee alone belongeth all honor and glory. From Thee floweth all good things. And I know of nothing sweeter, nothing any better, after we've met Christ and found forgiveness in Him, than to have You open the Scriptures and open our hearts to understand. And as great as my need is in rightly dividing and rightly proclaiming Thy Word, these have as great a need in their eyes being opened, their ears, You granting the ability to hear. Lord, we've gone so far from You that we look at everything in the natural. And everyone here has the ability to audibly hear. But many have done that without ever the heart responding. So be merciful to us this evening and give help to the glory and exaltation of Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Got several, well, a good portion here in John 20 that I want us to read together and just look at a few things in the verses before we get down. To verse number 11 and following, where Mary is outside the sepulcher. Verse number 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. Now she's had demons cast out of her, and to whom much is forgiven, they loveth much. If God would convince sinners of their state this day and save them, you'd find a people in love with the Lord Jesus. But according to our thinking, he doesn't have to deliver us from much, for we are not great sinners. Haven't committed great crimes against humanity or against God, in our thinking. But Mary heads off early when it was yet dark. Now, it's been dark in Israel more than 3 days. It was dark 400 years, because only God speaking creates light. And they sat in darkness for 400 years. But this is a different darkness, in that the light of the world is dead. Been in the sepulcher 3 days, 3 nights. And it was dark, as I said, in Israel when the Lord Jesus was born. The shepherds were in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. Nicodemus, John 3, came to Jesus by night. You're saying that's in the natural? Sure. Sure it is. But that which is in the natural always is to identify to us that which is in the spiritual. Sun comes up, sun sets, light, darkness, day, night. That has spiritual implication in your soul. The sun comes up, in your heart there's light. When the sun goes down, there's darkness. So the darkness reflects, or the natural darkness reflected the spiritual. But that did not keep her in her house. When it was yet dark, she came early unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from Israel. Don't know how in the world she and the other ladies that were with her, that Matthew identifies more. Don't know how they thought they'd get that stone rolled away. Don't know how they thought they would get past the soldiers keeping watch, making sure nobody took away the body of Christ. But love looks not at the obstacles in the way. It's always looking at that one that you desire to get near. So the stone is gone, the sepulcher is open. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. I don't know if John was faster physically in running. No way to know that, but I do know this for a fact. Guilt will always slow you down in getting where the Lord is. One place you ought to go, and yet guilt kind of holds us back. The devil tells you he won't forgive. You have strayed too far. You've gone too long, been unrepentant for a season that is past the time of God's forgiveness. So you just stay back. Or for whatever reason, you run to an open tomb. Verse 5, and he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Everything is orderly. I've often wondered why the napkin was by itself, but that covered his head, his face. And this I know, whether that is the extent of all this or not, I don't know, but the head will always, though the body is united to it, the head will always be above the body. It is that which will be recognized and honored throughout eternity. One more thing about the linen clothes. It ought to give evidence that nobody stole the body of Jesus. A thief is not going to be careful. He's going to get what he came after, and it doesn't matter what mess he leaves everything else in. But everything is neatly in its place here. For that which God does is always decently done and orderly done. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. If you will remember, they're out in the boat fishing, and the Lord calls out and says, "Children, have you any meat?" John recognizes him first. John's always been the closest one to him. John discerned his voice quicker than any other. And he said, "It is the Lord." And John sees an empty tomb, and now he believed. You got to think that that's intentionally left Peter out, because Peter as of yet does not believe. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. We'll pick up from there in a moment. Now John may have reason. He's seen an empty tomb. He believes. And he goes home. Why Peter left, we will never know. Dare not conjecture. here at this time. But I know about us being one of the us here. Oftentimes we're so preoccupied that we hurriedly rush through the most important thing in life. Gotta get my duties done to the Lord, because I got a busy day today. And I guarantee you this, you didn't get anything from the Lord hurrying through. Sometimes providence may so work that your time is limited, but not all the time does providence hinder us from setting aside time to look after that which is eternal and important. And even in performing, I'll just call them religious duties right now because you hurriedly rush through them. The real you, that is the inward man, the heart, it's never engaged. You might as well have been reading Good Housekeeping as trying to read the Word of God without first getting a settled, quiet heart. With everything out there, still everything out there. And don't push your card in to clock in before it's time. By that, I'm saying while you are still at home reading or trying to pray, don't be concerned about punching the clock to show that you were at work. Take care of that which is important first. Now, you give your employer a good, honest day's work. You do that. Never neglect that, but never neglect your soul. Do first things first. Now, why was it that the disciples came to the tomb? Was it curiosity? As of yet, they did not know about the resurrection. They had seen Christ raise Lazarus. They had seen Christ raise a lad being carried off in a coffin to the cemetery. They had seen dead folks resurrected. But they had never seen one that had the power to raise himself. They didn't believe yet. Then why did they come to a tomb that had nothing in it? Peter had a greater issue to deal with than settling any curiosity as, why is he not there? Did somebody steal his body? What happened to the soldiers who moved away the stone and unsealed that? Well, Peter had a problem in his heart in that he denied the Lord. And he couldn't rid himself of that guilt until God did it for him by meeting Christ. Now folks, many, many, many people especially in our day, take much for granted. We just wrap ourselves in this little blanket. I was saved. I remember when God saved me. And being wrapped up in that little blanket of taking our minds running back 20 years ago, we lose heart to seek the Lord on a daily basis. We already have sufficient from God. He saved us. So we just sit down in our easy chair and go to sleep claiming God's sovereignty and excuse our laziness on things are what they are. There's nothing I can do about it. Can't change what they are by my efforts, by my ability, or my religious activity. You might as well go home. If you went to the grave out of curiosity, just go back to normal living, Peter. What about us? Then he, the giver of talents to men, came again and called them all to give an account. You will. I don't care how far off you put that day, you're going to give an account to Almighty God. And then he got through dealing with those that had been efficient with the talents that he gave them. And then he comes to this other one and says, okay, now give an account. And the man says, well, I knew thee. I knew that thou were a hard man. And you reaped where you didn't sow, you gathered where you had not strawed, and I was afraid that I might lose the talent you gave me, so I went and buried it in the earth. About where most folk got theirs buried today. God gave you a book. God gave you a church. You've got a closet. You've got exposition of the Scripture, talents God has given you, but you may have buried them. And God says, okay, thou wicked servant, you thought I was hard, austere, reaping where I didn't sow. I gave you a talent. I came back. You still got what I gave you, but you've not improved that I gave you. Thou wicked and slothful servant. You go to the tomb and you don't find anything and you just go on about business. You go to the closet, you don't find anything and you go on about business. Sometimes it's right to go on, but sometimes you may get up 2 minutes too early. And get nothing. Mary was the only one that lingered. Stayed by the tomb. Don't know what all was in her heart. I just know she loved him. Now, folks, God's too holy. He is holy, too holy for sinful man to approach. God is just, demanding that you pay the uttermost farthing. but neither God's holiness, nor God's justice, nor any other attribute, God's sovereignty, God's wrath, or God's anger, any of these attributes will never bar the door to a sincere seeking soul. Never. If you don't make it into heaven, it's your fault. It's not God's. He never has refused and never will refuse an honest soul seeking Him. Ye shall seek me, Jeremiah 29, that I quote off to you. And ye shall find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Now, folk, you remember the very basics in economy. What was the subject? It was economy, wasn't it? That the price of an object is dependent upon the law of demand and supply. 5 ton of coal, you could buy it with pocket change compared to a little diamond made out of the same thing as coal is made. An apple would have a different taste to a little orphan boy abandoned, living in a cardboard box, roaming the back alleys just to find some garbage tossed out of the cafe. It tastes different to that little boy than an apple would to a lad raised on a 100-acre apple orchard. Not much demand, so we've cheapened to Christ. And since there is not much of a demand anymore for the Christ of Scripture, there is no supply of God today that we know of taking place. I said God's too holy to be approached. God's too just for a sinful man to get to Him. And yet that same God is the most easily accessible being in the universe. But God will have you approach only with a right frame of heart and in a specified manner in which He has laid down. A guilty, condemned sinner can approach God, but he can approach Him only as that. Any preparation of making himself presentable excludes his approach unto God. Just try to get fixed up to get to God. You'll never get to Him. Only way you get to God is in heart acknowledging that which you are, a sinner. Now afterwards, that changes. A guilty sinner, a leper from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, can only get to God as such at the first altar, when they started in the court to the tabernacle or temple, that's where the blood was shed. After the blood was shed and the blood was sprinkled, for without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. But after that, there is that brazen laver with the women's mirrors in it. And one that has had blood applied now can only approach God with clean hands and clean feet. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, that's not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So you come the first time full of leprous sores, naked. But every time after that, as a saved sinner, you'll come clothed in Christ's righteousness. Now, I'm sure that Mary was presentable. Not even knowing that she would run into any male figures, she still was presentable. You ladies are to adorn yourself in modest apparel. Modest apparel is long flowing garments. Now, I'm not saying you've got to have a dress on that comes down to the floor. I'm not saying that. It's all right to be in style if the style does not violate that which God has commanded. God's commanded you dress, adorn yourself. And you get to God. First time as a guilty sinner, but you get to God for the second time and the thousandth time after that. With clean hands, a pure heart. Girls, I'm not going to leave you men out either, but if you get mad at me, you better get over it. I'll pray God break your leg. Your outward appearance is reflective of your inward condition of your heart. Well, that dates me as an old apostle, doesn't it? Joseph put his brothers through anguish of soul, self-condemnation, not knowing that he understood them. They said, all this has come upon us because we verily are guilty of the blood of our brother. They had to know what they did. They had to be condemnation within before ever there was a revelation. Why, he kept giving that younger brother five times as much. And he put his cup in that younger brother's bag of corn, because he wanted them to see how they acted to him, their brother they murdered, to their thinking, and would have if 8 or 9 of them had gotten their wish. But one of them comes back, clothes rent, dust covering himself, pleading with Joseph, "Let me stay a prisoner." Joseph knew when they would take blame for that younger brother, and they were no longer jealous of that younger brother. Joseph had to be one of the wisest men ever at age of 30 to do what he did to those boys. But it didn't do it to be cruel. He did it so that they could find out Joseph is yet alive. And now back to Mary. Such a heart. Wish you could walk out of here envying her with a godly jealousy. Verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" I don't know that there's ever been a day when there's as much angel worship as there is today. But a believer stops not even for angels. And a believer stops not even for the very mother of our Lord, though she indeed was a truly virtuous and blessed woman. But we don't get to God through angels, and we don't get to God through Mother Mary. And the angels didn't faze her. "Why are you weeping? Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. But she's like the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Her eyes are kind of blinded. He is withheld from her. She turned herself back. I don't know if the angel said, "Look behind you." I don't know if she heard the rustling of the leaves as his foot stepped down on a new batch or a twig that broke. I just know that there was that impulse within her. She turned herself back and she saw Jesus standing. And knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She's supposing him to be the gardener that he has been throughout time, caring for the garden his father's planted, caring for the garden in your soul, that it bring forth precious fruit, that it have a sweet fragrance flowing from it to him. He's the great gardener, but she thinks he's the one keeping the cemetery. "Sir," well, she's polite. Didn't matter if he was, "Sir, If thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and tell and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. She reached out to grab him, but he wouldn't let her. She's still looking at Jesus as the one that went in and out and among them for 3 years. The reason he won't let her touch him, her emphasis is on his body. Sir, if you've taken him away, if you just tell me where you laid him, now you go figure what mine is, I'll get him. And I'll see that he has a decent burial. If you've taken him as a common criminal and just cast his body out there to be discarded, would you tell me where it is? I'll take him, that body, and I'll look after it. Then there is the other group of women in Matthew 28 who Jesus meets as they depart from the tomb, and it said of them that they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So it's not a matter of him having ascended. Literally, it's a matter of Christ has not, in her mind, been raised to a place that he never was before. He said, Mary, you're going to have to get that straight. And you're going to have to see me on the throne. Not as Jesus crucified, not as the Lamb of God walking in your midst for 3 years, but you're going to see me differently now than I've ever presented myself to you before. And he became different to the disciples. He'd come, he'd stay with them a little bit, and he'd be gone again. Because they're going to learn to live by faith. Now in closing, I speak to you as an individual now. It matters not how dark the times are, or the devastation that looms just over the horizon, really right over our heads. It matters not of the deadness or the sleepiness of Christianity in our day, or like of the inactivity of the Spirit. It matters not of sin abounding or religion flourishing. The longing, seeking soul shall find Jesus. She came early while it was yet dark. She came with obstacles, known obstacles in her way. But she came. She remained behind while all others left. You can't run with a crowd, folks. She was confronted by angels, but in all these things, it was not enough for her to leave that tomb. And she found him. I don't care how dark it is out there. That doesn't eliminate you from getting to Christ. I cannot, how little, I wished it was greater, how little the inactivity of the Spirit is in our day. That won't keep you from getting to Christ. All you need is just a hungry soul. A guilty, sin-laden heart. If you've got that, you've already had the workings of the Spirit of God in your heart. Psalm 3:1, by night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loved. Darkness. But I found Him not. But that didn't keep me there. When daylight came, I got up and I sought Him. Round every street corner, down every little path, I found Him not. I found the watchman. Asked them, they didn't know where I could find Him. Sometimes God will put you in such an awful state, there won't be another human being on earth that can help you, because God intends you get to His Son. There are times He will let other people help you. They might can point you, but that's the extent of their labor. Point you to Him. All the watchmen that went about the city, they smote me. But it was not long ere I passed from them, and I found Him whom my soul loveth. Mary found Him whom her soul loved. Right in Psalm 3, and I would not let Him go. How far back was it? How long ago was it you let Jesus go? You quit holding on to Him? Ought to be a valuable lesson to every one of us. Mary overcame everything. Angels, other folk going away. But she couldn't go away till she found a satisfactory answer. Where did you put His body? And she got more than a dead body. She got an introduction to the risen Savior.